I read a lot of books, and I was inspired by these people who were doing these amazing things. And I'm like, well, it triggered something in my head, which is, well, what am I capable of?
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. My guest on today's show is Nikki Love, and in 2017 she completed 63 marathons in 63 days. Since then she's gone to run on in the desert and run around Ireland. While the 63 in 63 is not an official Guinness record, she's still the only woman in the world to have done it. What makes anyone want to do those distances? It has to be drive and it has to be passion, that's for sure, which makes Nikki a good candidate for life, passion and business. So my relationship with running was never good. And 20 years ago, before it was fashionable, I had a cousin who used to run a lot and I thought it was really odd. As my resistance was forged in those terrible memories of cross-country running at school, awful conditions, always cold and wet, and some nastiness that went with it, as was education of the time. Thankfully, things have changed. So when I came back to exercise in my 50s, I found that I couldn't run. It hurt. It was only by going to a physio that I discovered that I had forgotten how to walk properly. And I had to learn how to use my knees and ankles again. Fast forward a couple of years, I was running 3K on a running machine at the gym. It was my brother who suggested we go out for a run one day when I was visiting, and I absolutely loved it. From there on, it was a quick jump from 3K in the gym to nearly 10K on the road, and I completed my first proper 10K race last September 2018. I enjoy it. And I can understand the passion and drive that people experience, but the idea of taking on these mega distances for me is something else. Now, Nikki is an amazing woman who's spreading the word about exercise and taking the message into schools and all over the country. She's leading the charge to help people understand the benefits of getting active and just moving. The key to success is not to run too fast. We met on Zoom today so I could see how windswept she was, as before our conversation she was out running with a local school and out on the hills after that with a group of women in the sleet and the rain. I really enjoyed our chat. It was all about her drive, why she does what she does. We also explored her latest project, which is about running across Australia. Yes, that's 4,000 kilometres and she's going to do it in 63 days. We talk about sponsorship and how the project is structured, and we talk about lots of other things too. Nikki Love is an amazing woman. I hope you enjoy our conversation. So welcome to Life, Passion and Business. And I am delighted today to be talking to Nikki Love. And I have watched Nikki Love's work. Well, let's call it work. Yeah, work over a while now, because we're social media friends. And Nikki is a runner, and for me that's big, because I'm a runner too, although I don't quite take it to the level that Nikki does. This lady completed 63 marathons in 63 days. Yes, I did say 63 in 63, and we're going to hear more about that in a moment. So Nikki, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So I understand you are windswept off the hill because you ran to this program today.
Pretty much, yeah. I snuck in a couple of runs. I ran with a primary school this morning to get them all excited and motivated and to do their school day. And then I from there I went and disappeared into the Brecon Beacons and played a little bit on the hills, and it was a bit wild and a bit windy and a bit haily, but we saw a beautiful couple of beautiful rainbows, so you know, that's always an upside.
It is. If you hadn't been there, you wouldn't have seen them, and that's the point, isn't it?
Exactly,
really?
Yeah.
So tell me, Nikki, how do you do this? What is your story? Because I mean, 63 marathons in 63 days, that's not something you just get out of bed and go, I think I'll do this week. I mean, how did you get to that? And there's loads of questions I want to ask you, really. But it's like, what's the journey been so far? Because there must have been the journey that got you to that stage where you went, no, running's the answer.
Yep, there really was. I have always done running as a little bit of a background. My background is fitness coaching, and I worked in a gym and did personal training. And the running was always the sort of thing in the background that just basically kept my butt the right size to do the things that I was doing. And it wasn't until I moved to England in just before the year 2000. And running was the easy thing to take from Australia to England. I didn't have to take any equipment or anything like that. It was just right. I got here and I continued running. So running stayed from that point on as the main focus in terms of keeping myself fit and healthy. And I had always wanted to do a marathon. And I attempted my very first one 6 months after the birth of my son, and I didn't finish. So it was a fail. It was a DNF on the very first attempt, and I didn't
want DNF. What's a DNF?
A DNF is did not finish.
Okay.
So it was a DNF, and it was. That's not the way I wanted my story to go. No. I wanted I wanted to do a marathon. So that was way back in 2001. So when I finished that marathon, I entered the London Marathon. And that was at a time when you could just enter the London Marathon. So 6 months later, I did the London Marathon and I finished, and that made me a very, very happy person, very fulfilled that I'd actually continued through with something and achieved it. That was sort of the love affair with running long distance. From there on, it kind of escalated. I did a couple of more marathons, and then when I decided that I got another place in the London, I thought, well, I've done it a couple of times. What should I do for my third attempt? And I thought, well, I guess I can run 7 marathons in 7 days and finish with the London Marathon. And that was when this crazy stuff started happening, which was, oh, I can do that. I mean, it really hurt. that was the start of the thought of how far can I go? What am I capable of doing? Let's see.
Well, wow. So are you still a personal trainer? Is that what you did while you were doing this?
It was what I did. I'm not now. It's more timing and choosing what to do with my time. I still love the idea that I've got that background, and I do offer advice, but I don't spend my time training other people now. So, but I give advice, and I guess I mentor a little bit. But it is more through the social media of saying, well, look, this is how I do it. This is why I do it. And then if anybody asks me questions, I will give advice. But it's more sort of taking that next step up, which is actually just being the the actual athlete or the person who does these adventures. So I very cringily say an athlete because I wouldn't judge myself as sort of an elite athlete, but I am an adventure runner.
I think 63 in 63 is pretty elite. It must have changed your body quite significantly. Your body must be designed for running by now.
Yes, it took me up to another level. Mm. And we did talk about this. I spoke to quite a few people afterwards because the question was how and how did I not get hurt or how did I not get injured? And what we think has happened is that I found my sweet spot. It really was hard. I'm not going to say it wasn't. But yeah, it was just finding that sweet spot of my pace. And being able to do that distance continually.
I mean, I don't know, what sort of pace are you doing?
Oh gosh, not fast. No. Not fast. No. But that was the thing was A, not get injured, B, finish the distance, and C, try and do it with a smile on my face and have some fun along the way. So there was a couple of things that came out of it, which is that I ended up going to visit quite a lot of primary schools. And this is the direction that I've headed, is that I want to encourage and inspire as many people as I can to fall in love with running. And whilst I do long distances, it's not that I'm promoting so much. It's the love of running. It's the adventure of what I'm doing. It's the how it helps your body. That is a lovely side benefit, but it is just that love of the capability of looking after yourself, looking after your body, looking after your mind, because you set goals. And then as you achieve them, that makes you feel good. And then there's the other side of which is going out and running gives that opportunity to clear your head, clear your space.
Yes.
At primary school, we're just teaching, we're just showing the kids that it's lots of fun to go out there and just run with your friends, have fun, walk a bit, run a bit. Doesn't matter how far you go, so long as you're in there, giving it your best. And each time you go out, if you want to sort of set yourself another goal, then do that and see how good it feels when you actually achieve it. So it's all these little things that make up this big, so that's how I end up on my big adventures. So it is that falling in love with whilst it's an exercise, it's actually, to me, there's so much more to it. And I, having spent my adult life coaching people, training people, and mainly adults, is that I noticed that ladies would come back to me sort of in their 30s saying, well, I hated sport at school. So I didn't do anything from high school through to, having kids. And then all of a sudden I want to get back to being fit again. It's like, why did you lose that? And it was because they were told they weren't sporty or they didn't feel sporty. And trying to sort of show the kids that what's sporty? Sporty is just being out there going and having some fun and running and jumping and playing. And you don't have to race or you don't have to be chosen
Running was never taught well when I was at school. I mean, when I came back to running, I came to running 2 years ago and I didn't know how to run. And when I was on a running machine, I was actually, my knees were hurting, bits were hurting. And it was only when I went to the doctor and to the physio, they went, you don't walk right. You don't run right. You've got placement problems, because I just had never learned to do it properly. And then I started to realize, you see people in a running machine, it's like a sack of spuds with legs. It's like you watch people kind of running, swaying side to side and throwing their body in one way. And you think to yourself, my God. We haven't been taught to use this body properly. So it's not surprising that people come to you and go, I'm not sporty, because they weren't shown how to be.
That's true. That is true. And yes, there are technical aspects to running, but without sort of And it really is important because running shouldn't hurt unless you're doing stupid distances. But I often hear running hurts, and it's mainly because they're not doing it right. So there are right ways, and there's a good way to hold your body and all that sort of stuff. But with the kids, we just want to teach them that it is fun and it is exciting, and it's something that they can take with them right throughout. And it's not something that gets put aside because they haven't made a team or something like that. It's just, it is that self looking out, you're looking after yourself.
So where's the passion in it for you? Because obviously you are seriously passionate about this.
So there are many reasons why, and you and I, Paul, both know that one of the keys is to start with the why. And I have spent a lot of time working on those whys. And, you know, I do love the fact that it looks after my body. So, you know, that's a given. The health benefits are really important. Then there is all the other reasons of, you know, I did have this curious question, how far can I push myself? And, you know, I got asked a lot, am I pushing myself? Do I have like a death wish? And I'm like, no, that's not it. It's more how far can I go? What am I capable of? I read a lot of books, and I was inspired by these people who were doing these amazing things. And I'm like, well, it triggered something in my head, which is, well, what am I capable of? And that's the question I always want to answer. And I genuinely don't want to find my end hopefully I don't think I will, because at each stage I'm in a different place. So I'm a little bit older this year. All right, I'm going to be pushing myself a little bit further this year. You know, it's always the next challenge, and the next challenge given the conditions. And it's from what I've been, the people I watch, they inspire me. And I, you know, my the person who probably is the highest on my list is a lady called Rosie Swale Pope, and she's 72 this year. And she is running around the world.
Wow.
so that's this thing of there's always, what are you capable of doing? And you don't have to, you know, when Rosie runs, she's not fast, but she's, you know, going great for a 72-year-old lady. And that's the drive. And then there's the other side of it all, which is what good can I do with it?
Yeah.
And that's where the direction has been heading since in the last 3 years, is what can I do with this? How can I help others? Because yes, I want to push myself, but we're all part of a society, and we all put our bit in to help others or to make the society work. And what is my input? And that is sort of helping kids get inspired and encouraged and move. Anybody who watches me, so I hear back that they're out there doing their thing as well. So they say if they can see me do it, then they can do it too. So that is encouraging and helping and inspiring others.
You went for the 63 out of 63, did that was that a planned project, or did you just kind of go, wow?
Yeah. No, it really was a planned project, and it had been in my head for more than 7 years, so it wasn't something that I took on lightly.
Okay.
It took probably 7 years, I would say, probably to work up the courage. It was just something that was in my head for a very long time, and I had to work out how I was going to do it.
because so were these actual marathons, or did you set them out?
Yeah. No, they weren't actual marathons. No. Okay. So of those 63, only two were official distance races.
Okay.
So the rest of it was entirely up to me. I wanted to... It was me setting this adventure up. What did I want to achieve out of it? And
so, is this an official record, or is it not official? Is it an official world record on this?
It's not official by Guinness, okay. But I did pass the the Guinness World Record, which was 60 marathon. So it is, the terminology is 60 consecutive marathon distances by a woman. And I did 63. So that's
how's that feel?
it feels good. It wasn't sort of it was a target, but it wasn't the purpose. Whereas this next event is a target and purpose. The application is already in for the Guinness World Record to be the fastest woman to cross Australia.
Wow. I was going to ask you what your success model is, but I think I know it already.
But the success, and this is a very, very important question, is what does success look like?
Yeah.
And success for me will be how much money can I raise, and I say money and awareness for the charities that I'm going to be choosing. How many people can I encourage to join me virtually? And then, you know, can I achieve this record? So there's more to it than just this me and the personal side of it. There's the underlying who can I help along the way. So I have my targets of how many people I want to join me, come along for the ride.
And how will people be able to join you and come along for the ride on this?
We're still working on that.
Okay.
So last year I ran around Ireland, and people were able to join me virtually using an app. We're sort of working on that to make that a bigger and easier. There was a lot of teething issues, yeah, with it. So it really is just trying to make it more inclusive and have more schools involved. That sounds a little bit vague because it's still a work in progress. I'm still a work in progress on
Well,
that.
That's great. I mean, at the end of the day, people can keep, obviously towards the end of this, we'll have some contact details. So if they're interested, they can follow through.
Mm.
So, clearly, as you say, your success model is more about it being inclusive and that sort of thing. And this is not a money game for you, clearly.
No, it really isn't because having said that, I do want this to be a business for me, so it's still, like in every other startup, I'm still working on that. I do want this to be a business, and it sounds a bit weird. It's not an exact business model, like an office type thing. So yes, we have merchandise with the brand Chasing Extraordinary, which is the hashtag I use. The talks I do at schools are all based around the Chasing Extraordinary and what that means and how kids can feel so good when they accomplish something. And it's them about them setting their levels, and that's their extraordinary, not my extraordinary. I've got my own path that I'm going along.
Yeah.
So there's all of that. So yes, I do want that to be a successful business model, which means that there is a profit in the company. And that's something I'm still working on. So at the moment, I subsidize my adventures. So that was one of the questions you asked when you got in contact with me, is how did I make this happen? I've spent many times sleeping on the ground, sleeping on park benches, making do, asking people for money to get petrol to go from one place to another. But as I'm doing it, the more I do, the more people and companies see what I'm capable of doing. Yes. And so there's more investment into me and yeah. and my and the direction of where I'm going. And hopefully, yeah, that sort of changes.
Have you considered the sponsorship for what you do?
Yes. Yep. Yep. So I have a couple of corporate sponsors.
Fantastic.
Always looking for more, many more. I'm setting up a Patreon site, which is for anybody who wants to support me. They can donate a lot. And there is little incentives to join me for a couple of months.
That's so, really nice. Yeah. That's a good idea, actually. We'll make sure that the Patreon and stuff and everything you do is very prominent, so that.
Thank you.
So this podcast goes out to quite a wide audience, so I'm sure someone would be interested in doing something for you.
So the thing is that you've got to believe in what you're doing, and that's where I'm at the moment, is I have to believe that what I'm trying to do is going to be of benefit to people. And when I do go to the schools, when I get messages back saying, you know, this has helped me, this has, you know, encouraged me to do this and that, then I think I'm heading in the right direction.
Well, we have an overweight nation, don't we? I mean, generally, most people don't move enough.
Yeah.
So anything that can encourage our young people to start moving early.
Yes.
Will pay dividends later. Mm.
Yeah, obesity and childhood obesity is a big, big problem. And it's not something that we talk about specifically in the schools, because schools deal with that. But it is the whole making them feel better about moving. Mm-hmm. And this other connection with the term exercise, and it's not exercise because I've got to because I'm overweight. There's the other side, the more positive aspect to it, which is you feel good.
Yeah, and you feel good, then you put less rubbish in your mouth.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And as they say, as I love that phrase that someone I did, I think it may be Dan Meredith that coined it. You know, bodies are built in the kitchen and polished in the gym.
Yes. All right, or polished out on the trails.
Right, the trails. Basically, the exercise is the polish, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yep.
And that's it, really. So, is there anything that you want to say? Anything that you know? What is the question I haven't asked you that I should have done?
Well, the next thing, because I touched on it a little bit, which is that I am going to run from Cottesloe Beach in Perth to Bondi Beach in Sydney. I start on the 1st of August, and whilst I ran 63 marathons in 63 days, I'm taking it quite happily, or luckily fits into the same mold, and I'm doing 63 kilometres a day for 63 days, and that will get me from Perth to Sydney. So that's what's up next.
Just yeah. over a marathon a day then.
Yeah, well, it's about one and a third marathons per day.
How does that sit in your head when you think about it?
it's a scary one. It's something that I'm working on all day, every day. And it's not the running side of it so much, because I'm going to go out there. It's how do you process that? How do I make it into something more simple that I can deal with every single day? And that's the key, is that I go, right, I'm going to go for a little run. I'm going to go for a little run for 63 days. I'm going to do a park run, and I'm going to do many, many park runs.
Yeah.
What is it? It's, is it 12 park runs?
About that.
Yeah, about 12 park runs. And I break that down into, well, I know I can do a park run, so I'm going to go and do 12 park runs. And then I work down from 12, and 12, 10, 11. Doesn't sound scary. 63 sounds really scary if I'm starting at the number 63. So I'm going to start at 12. I'm going to work my way down there. And then every time I do a park run, it's like, well, you know, I know that I can do a park run, so I'm just going out to do another one. And it is breaking things down into simple things of, like, I'm just going to go for running. And I love running. So it's a little run a day, 63 days.
You are a great inspiration in this. So I did my first official 10K in September last year.
Yay! How did it feel?
It was great. I'd been doing 10. I started running last April properly outside. Prior to that, I'd only run on running machines. And I got my time, and I was doing 10K before then. So I went into the race with a view of getting under the hour, and I actually did it in 51 minutes. So
yay!
it's quite a quick course I since discovered, but yeah, it was good. It's good. And I was originally going to do a half marathon early this last Sunday, and my training wasn't going well, so I didn't do it. So I didn't even book into it because I recognized I wasn't ready.
Right. So, yeah.
But I've got to get ready. I've got to get beyond the 10K, and I'm finding that quite difficult.
So it is a hard one. But one of the things I have learnt is that there's probably never a great time to go and do something. It's just go and do it. And I know that sounds a bit strange because, you know, if you do want to run times, then you have to be feeling fairly confident that you're going to be able to go out there and do it. But if you take that away and just go for a little run, without that pressure, then you'll find that you can go a lot further, a lot longer, all that sort of stuff. And then once you've actually done it, then it bring it into a race feels so much more comfortable and confident. So
I will do a half this year. That's the thing. I will get a half booked in and get one done this year.
Yay.
So, okay. All the details to connect with you will be on your, on the podcast details. Is there anything you want to say in terms of that? I mean, how do people find you? What's the best place?
Social media is probably the easiest thing. And it's easy to find. It's Nikki Love Runs, on Twitter, on Instagram. I have a website that's still a work in progress, so it's not the greatest website, but it's there, and occasionally I will write a blog on there. But mainly I use Instagram to write how I've been going and what I've been doing and all that sort of stuff. So
that's great. So Nikki, I've got to the last question on my list, really, and this is the one that everybody has to come up with a conclusion for themselves, really, because we're born onto this earth and we're just animals like every other animal born into this earth. But we humans think we're special for some reason. We think there is something about our lives and we are here for a reason or for a purpose. So for you, what is the meaning of life?
You told me this was coming.
And it doesn't matter what you say. You can say anything you like.
Anything,
but it's just what is it for you?
Is to go through it feeling. And you've got that choice of how you feel. I like to feel that I'm having fun, I'm having adventure, and I'm loving life, and I'm open to love and I give love. And if I can get those three things done every day, then that's a great day for me. It is a really good day for me.
You have the right name for it, Miss Love.
I know, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And it's very valid. You know, if we can make a difference in the world, and love tends to be one of the best ways of making a difference.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nikki Love, thank you so much for your time today. It has been a pleasure to talk to you, and I have to say I'm a little in awe of you in terms of your capacity to run, because it's like something I'm quite impressed with. So thank you very much.
thank you Paul, really appreciate it.
All the best.
Ta.
That was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest Nikki Love. As you will have heard, she's passionate about her running and about spreading the word about keeping moving, getting active. If you'd like to connect with Nikki, as with all my guests, if you would like to connect with Nikki or have some interest in sponsoring her up and coming venture, please get in touch. Go to the website lifepassionandbusiness.com and you'll find all of the contact details for her project and how to get in touch underneath the podcast player. So well done. You made it to the end of a podcast. Thank you so much for your time and attention. It really is appreciated. So if you enjoyed this program, can I ask you to support us with a like or a review? I know I ask it every week, but I have to because that's what makes the program grow. I know it's difficult on the podcast apps, but it supports the work that we do. So thanks again for your time and attention. I really appreciate it, and I will catch you later. Well done. You made it to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for your time and attention. It really is appreciated. If you enjoyed this program, can I ask you to support us with a like or a review? Yes, I know it's difficult on the podcast apps, but it does support the work that we do. So thanks again for your time and attention. I appreciate it, and I will catch you next time. And that was Life, Passion and Business with your host Paul Harvey and my guests Guy and Ilan Furman. What a great program. I so enjoyed that conversation with you guys, and I am looking forward to perhaps catching up with them again. They did promise to do some live coaching with me on the program at some stage, and maybe we'll take them up on that option. So if you would like to catch up with Guy and Ilan, you certainly can. All the details you will find on the Life, Passion and Business website underneath this podcast. It only remains me to say thank you for taking the time to listen to these shows, because it's such a pleasure to create them, and I hope they bring you some useful content or information. And on that subject, I am always looking for interesting guests. If you think you have something to offer this program, please get in touch. If you visit the website, there is a guest section where you can just send me some details and let's talk. If you are enjoying this podcast series, please support the show by liking and sharing our content. Maybe even submitting a review to iTunes. It all supports us to build the program and build our audience. Anyway, as I said, thank you for listening, and I hope to catch you later.